Turn with me again this week to the 27th Psalm. In verse 4, let's hear the word of God. One thing have I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Our Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing as we have a few moments to open your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us, that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. Several years ago, Rich Mullins took a piece of this psalm and wrote a song. And he said, everybody I know says they need just one thing. But what they really mean is they need just one thing more. Depending on the nature, it's not wrong to have desires. God knows that. God gave us desires. Thing is, our adversary knows as well that we have desires. The world is full of shiny baubles. It's full of attractions that beckon us and promise us that if we'll just come and participate with them, that we'll gain great satisfaction. Say, I see that you're dissatisfied. I see that things aren't going the way that you'd like them to go. So buy me, and everything will be well. It's the business of the merchant to see to it that your satisfaction or your dissatisfaction is relieved. And they go out of their way to see to it that you're relieved of your misery and your money. What's more, in the mind of the merchant, you should not have to wait. If you are dissatisfied, if you have a desire, you have something that you want, you should be able to have it now. The things that satisfy us, the things that we desire, they're not necessarily the same things for everybody. What you might desire, what you might like, maybe something entirely different than your neighbor's. You may be attracted to amusements. We have amusement parks. And they play on that year after year, your dissatisfaction, that is, because they have to build a new attraction, a new amusement. Last year's roller coaster is not going to get it done. You have to ride this year's roller coaster. Maybe what you desire is food. I like food. Food's good. But the guy next door, man, I care a whit about it. No, I can get away with that. Or maybe you're into cars. You like cars. Cars are cool. Your thing, maybe you want to drive a Corvette. But your neighbor is happy digging up an old Yugo and trying to make it work. Just transportation, just something to get me around. The thing about our desires is that far too often, the things that we desire, the satisfaction that we realize doesn't last very long. It's really, really a temporary thing. You know, I've made no secret of the fact that I use Facebook. And over the a year's time, you'll see different people posting about their brand new car or their brand new truck. And it's only a matter of time before those vehicles just, they don't have the same appeal the satisfaction that was gained in that moment is not there anymore. It's only temporary. But like it or not, the reason for that is far too often our focus is on temporal things. The things that we seek for our satisfaction are things that are by design going to go away. It's not wrong to have desires. Paul told us in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we ought to earnestly desire what? The best gifts. We ought to earnestly, that's with some intensity, with some fervency. We should desire things that are right. We should desire to live a godly life. We should desire to daily increase our love for God and for our neighbor. We should desire that on a daily basis, our old nature become weaker and weaker and killed off at some point. That should be our desire. We should desire to have opportunities to give the gospel to the lost. We should desire those things. And we should desire opportunities to use the gifts that we've been given for the glory of God and for the building of His kingdom. When our desires stem from true piety, where is it that we should go to find satisfaction? Well, that would be the same place that David went. To Almighty God Himself. He says, "One thing I have desired. One thing I have desired, and I have desired that one thing of the Lord. I've desired it from God. I understand that the only place I can go to receive satisfaction for the desire that burns in my heart is to the one who placed it there. It's to God. If our desire is sanctified, if our desire is humble, if it springs from a heart that is zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ, why wouldn't we seek His favor? Why wouldn't we ask His blessing to make it so?" We're people. We have these frail thoughts from time to time. And we say, you know what? God's a busy God. After all, look, He's got the whole universe He has to look out after. These little things that I want, you know, they're big to me, but they seem kind of petty. I don't want to bring them to God's attention. So I don't really want to trouble the Lord with it. Isn't that preposterous? Isn't that a proud thought? Doesn't that, in effect, if we take that attitude, doesn't that make us say that we are more powerful than God? That we are more important than God? We can't talk to God about this because, you know. Jesus told a parable in the 18th chapter of Luke. Starting in the beginning of that chapter, He talks about a widow lady who desired justice from an adversary. She was a widow lady. She was in the community, she was a nobody. She wasn't a social climber. She wasn't in the newspaper society page every week. She wasn't out doing all the good deeds that people get attention for. She was just living her life at home, She certainly had no political power. She was a weak widow woman. But she'd been wronged. We know when we've been wronged, don't we? We don't have to be something extraordinary to know that we've been wrong. The weakest among us know when something has occurred that shouldn't have. And this widow understood that this adversary, this other person, was taking advantage of her, was abusing her in some way. And she knew that was wrong. And so she went to see the judge because the judge could deliver her from that circumstance. The judge could put the kibosh on the adversary. The judge was a legally important guy. The problem with the judge was that he was also a self-important guy. Jesus said in the parable that this judge didn't fear God and he had no regard for men. He was all about him. Had he not been a fictional character in a story that Jesus was using, this judge would have been in a very precarious position. When we find ourselves in such a situation where we don't fear God and think little of God's creation, we're begging for judgment ourselves. Yet, in the story, this man had providentially been placed in a position of leadership. He was a judge. And because he held that office, the widow petitioned him to intervene. And initially, he ignored her. He said, "Oh, I've got so many things to do today. I've got quite the agenda. You know, I have this hearing this morning, and then I have lunch. And then I have a meeting after lunch, and then I have coffee. I come back after coffee, and I'll have another little hearing. I got a quick little ruling to make, and then it's dinner time. And then that's the end of the day. I get to go home." So what if you are in need of something? So what if you want my attention? I'm a busy man. I've got important things to do. I don't have time for that. It was beneath this guy to even get involved with the widow's case. How do we respond in such situations? If there's something that we need, do we press on? Do we persevere? Or do we say, I asked one time, he told me no, he ignored me, he wouldn't even do anything, so I'm going to walk away and forget about it. That's not what this widow woman did. Jesus said that she would not give up. She continually came to this judge day after day, and she prays to the judge until he couldn't take it anymore. He nagged her to death. Vice versa. She nagged him. But her persistence eventually resulted in the widow obtaining her desire. The judge heard her case. The thing about the Lord is he's not an unjust judge. He's a merciful judge. And he isn't put off by our petitions. He wants us to come to him with our petitions. He wants us to bring our prayers to him. He knows what we want. He knows what we need. But he wants us to come to him. Peter told us to cast our cares upon him, not because he's an unjust judge, but to do so because he cares for you. So David sought the Lord to have his desire granted. Seeking implies doing something. There's an old saying, somebody said that wishing never fills a sack. The widow in the Lord's parable had to go to the judge's court. She couldn't just deposit her complaint and hope for her desire. Spurgeon commented that we shall find our desires to be like clouds without rain unless followed up by practical endeavors. We need to put feet to our faith. We ask God to grant us the desires of our heart. But then we do something. Our work doesn't make it happen. Yet we need to work. God blesses us when he will at his appointed time. What was David's desire? David's desire is to be in constant communion with the Lord. To live in God's house forever. Ought that not be our desire as well? Should we not want to be in constant communion with the Almighty? David's petition fell a little short. David said it was his desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. But our desire goes beyond this life. Our desire is to commune with God not only while we inhabit flesh and blood, but when we arise in a resurrected body. Our desire is to be with God. Our desire is to love the Lord Jesus and fellowship with him. Commune with him. Sup with him. Enjoy his presence, not just while this life goes on, but forever. That should be our desire. David longed for the opportunity to live in the king's palace, to labor in his temple, to never be out of communion with him. David's desire was to go to church, to live in the church, because that's where God was. We ought to have the same desires. Now, we may not in practice live in the church building, But the church isn't a building. Paul told us again in Corinthians, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We can go to church wherever we go. That doesn't excuse the assembling of the saints on Sunday. Side note there. But we go to church wherever we go if we are a part of the body of Christ. We can, by God's grace, be in constant communion with Him. We can talk to Him anytime we want. You're living your life and you stumble. You sin. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning after the congregational confession of sin to confess your sins. You say, God, man, I messed up. I did it right now. You take care of business. It's over with. It's behind you. You go on. The slate's clean. You don't have to wait for some appointed day to say, God, I love your creation. I love your handiwork. I love your people. We can do that anytime. Anytime. With David, we desire to see his beauty. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. One day we will see that glorious face. One day will not just be in shadow. One day we will see Him as He is. He walked the earth with a form that no man desired. But He sits on His eternal throne in glorious beauty that everyone is compelled to, that belong to Him. The sinner has the opposite reaction. Those who are not His are driven away. And Lord, we desire to see your beauty. But the other thing that we might do, you give us an opportunity to inquire in your temple. We have the opportunity to consult with God, to be counseled by the Lord Jesus, to be instructed by Him. We have the opportunity to seek His blessing. And those are things that we can do today. This very day, we can seek the face of Almighty God. We can be counseled by Him. We can be instructed by Him. We can be corrected by Him through His holy word. We can talk to God anytime. He talks to us anytime, right here. If you're walking around listening for voices, you may be disappointed. If you're walking around listening for voices and you hear them, I don't know that I necessarily pay attention. God speaks to us through His word and only through His word. He does not speak to us extra biblically. We speak with Him in prayer. He talks to us through the written word. David had one thing that he desired. In one little verse, he says all these things. I've desired the Lord, and so I am going to seek Him. I am going to do something. I am going to pursue that blessing. May David's desire truly become our one thing. Let's pray.